Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to White Wine Question Time, Something from the Cellar. Another mini midweek episode that sees us revisit some of the brilliant guests we've had on the show over the last 4 years. That's why we call it Something from the Cellar. It is literally a treasure trove brimming with vintage conversations from over 200 guests, all served up in bite-sized portions. And this week, we're celebrating Father's Day with some of the incredible dads we've had on the show across the years. And first up, it's chorister and classical superstar turned broadcaster Alid Jones, a devoted father of two who, having been a child star himself, is now the father of his own superstar daughter. Here, Alid talks about history repeating itself as his daughter Amelia Jones follows in his famous footsteps, but as an actress rather than as a singer, having played the lead in Oscar-nominated Coda amongst many other standout roles. He also looks back at how his own father supported him as a child star, ensuring that whilst his star rose, his feet remained firmly on the ground.
I feel like I sort of keep in touch with you via limo bikes, right? So limo bikes in London, just so people understand what it is. It's like a courier service for human beings.
It is. It's mad, really. And it's really nasty between the months of September and February when you're on the back of the bike thinking,
oh, so cold.
Why am I doing this? But it's brilliant.
Because this is the way that we get around town in order to be able to get, I mean, predominantly back to young children is
yeah,
what it was
absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely.
I mean, now you've just...
Not so
just,
young.
But yours, I mean, hello. Hello, Hollywood. You might have seen Alid's eldest. I mean, your daughter is absolutely nailing it.
She's 19 and having a wonderful time. Yeah, she's been in Lock and Key for Netflix for about 3 years.
And then before that, Doctor Who?
Yeah, she did her first
Utopia?
Job when she was, I think, about nine. She was in One Day with Anne Hathaway. And then she had one line in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Did she?
When she was tiny, tiny, tiny. But now, yeah, she's, you know, she's such a hard worker. And she's, you know, she really loves what she's been doing. So she's been going from film to film to film. She's up for Best Actress and stuff like that. So it's mad.
I mean, if anyone was ever going to be able to guide a young person through life in the spotlight, it's you, right?
And when does a daughter ever listen to their dad? When? No chance.
Is that never happened?
No, never. She's wiser than I am, and she's got fantastic people looking after her. You know, and if she comes to me, then I'll help her with something. But I'm just a dad, and I've always been that. You know, they don't care what I do. you know, they don't care that I sing and present and stuff like that. For them, I'm just dad, and it's the same. And that's important, I think, you know. And as you said, with the bikes and stuff like that, the reason I started using the bikes was so I could get home earlier as well. You know what I mean? Otherwise, you're just away all the time.
Well, you're just never there for the moments that really matter. The bath time, the bedtime, the storytelling.
Yeah, yeah.
My second question for you isn't actually from me. It's from Gary Barlow.
Wow. Okay.
He had no hesitation in when I said that you were coming on. He was like, no, I've got a question for him.
Uh-oh.
So can we play in Gary Barlow's question for Alid, please?
I wonder, you hear a lot of stories, especially from people like Charlotte and people who've been like young stars. Donnie, I mean, he was six when he was playing at the Hilton in Vegas.
Oh, my God.
I mean...
That's nuts.
Like, whether he wished to do his teenage years again.
Yeah,
you
but,
know,
yeah,
I wonder.
Well, I shall ask him.
Because back in those days, no one ever asked how anyone was, did they?
No.
As nowadays, it's like...
There was
no such thing
as mental health. No. You were mentally ill.
I wonder.
And that was it.
Because he's so lovely and I just, yeah. I wonder if he feels like he's missed out on a childhood.
I feel I need therapy now. no way. Do you know why? That's why my mum and dad were clever. At the time, they made me go to school to the local comprehensive Monday to Friday. And then Friday, Saturday and Sunday, we'd be jetting off wherever. Apart from one year with my O-level year where I missed half the year because we were everywhere. So that
makes me laugh because you literally would be like on top of the pops and then back in school.
Back in school on Monday, yeah. Keeping completely quiet about what I'd been on or what I'd been doing. So Monday to Friday, I had a normal school existence. I was so lucky, you know, I was going to these exciting places where I was the only kid, I suppose. And also, you know, when you've got a bowl haircut and you're wearing Burton's jumpers, people are really nice to you when you're 13, you know.
Oh, but you were super lovely and polite as well. You handled yourself so incredibly well. Like, I was watching that documentary and there's all those clips of you
in... So cringy.
It's not cringy, I promise you. As a mother, I sat there and just thought, your mum and dad must have been so proud of the way you carried yourself, Alid.
Yeah, and it's all down to them. You know, I'm an only child, so I suppose that worked out best, really, because of what we were doing.
They could really devote themselves to
absolutely.
Your epic journey. I mean, when you say journey, that yours literally was, you were at the airport every week going somewhere else.
Yeah, or less glamorous, going down on the train from Bangor to London. And my dad keeps it real, okay? So there was no first class. It was all standard, yeah. And honestly, I know so brilliantly how to get into a train or plane or exist on the street without anyone recognising you. Okay, I'm sort of like, you know, head down. And the only thing that got me through those journeys, sometimes the train journey on a Sunday coming back would be 6.5 hours on the train, okay, with every single person in the compartment just going, look, it's Alid Jones. And just staring. And the only thing that got me through it was my Walkman and Les Mis. And I'd listen to that so much constantly because I loved that musical. I know every part from Les Mis. If they rang up now and said, oh, we need a Gavroche or we need a Jean Valjean or whatever, I could do it straight away. And that's the only thing that got me through it, yeah.
Wow. So your dad would never even upgrade even when you were on your 16th album?
No. No.
Even when you've been over to the States and performed on the biggest shows?
No, it was all keep it real. You know, it was all about...
But maybe there's a lot to be said for that.
Yeah. Although if I had the option now.
Yeah. Next up is a recent guest who is fast becoming one of my all-time favourites, comedian and television host Adam Hills. Adam is, well, just frankly, a thoroughly good guy. He radiates goodness and lives with his emotions very close to the surface, as you're about to hear, as he discusses his daughters and what they mean to him and why often it's the simplest pleasures as a parent that are ultimately the most rewarding, which is something he learned from his own dad. Imagine, if you were, that you were sadly to die tomorrow and you find yourself at the pearly gates, only to be told that before you cross over to the other side, you can return to Earth for 1 hour. And I want to know, in that 60 minutes, where do you go? Who do you see? What do you say to them? How do you spend your final moments on Earth?
Oh, you're going to make me cry. You really are going to make me cry. I Okay, I'm not even going to think it through. I'm just going to say I'm going to see my wife and kids.
That's it, isn't it?
My daughters. Yeah, yeah. Just spend time with my daughters for an hour. What would we do? It wouldn't even matter what we did.
Just be
something really banal, like, you know, watching Brooklyn Nine-Nine or drawing, probably drawing with my kids, I think is my favourite thing to do.
Is it?
And both of them are quite artistic, and I think my favourite moments are, you know, maybe music on in the background, not necessarily, but just drawing. And sometimes my eldest is now 12, but she'll still do it. She'll still create something. I think last holidays we were making stickers together. But I think it would just be sitting around a table with my daughters just drawing. And for me, I like drawing cartoon characters. So it would be like Mighty Mouse or Banana Man, or I just go online and search Banana cartoon Man. Character and then draw and then paint. And then my daughters are scribbling and drawing and just, you know, it's for me, that's what life's about. And it hurts me because I have to spend so much time away from them because, you know, that we were all living together in 2019 over here in London. And then my daughters started getting homesick and my wife was getting work in Australia. And we kind of went, well, that's fine. I can do 10 weeks away at a time and then go back. But my dad worked for Qantas, so he was always away. So I knew what it was like to have a dad that was gone for 2 weeks. But when he was home, he was properly home.
So
with
present.
Nothing in
yeah.
the diary.
Yeah. How lovely.
And like now I go back to Australia in a couple of weeks' time and I've purposely cleared the diary as much as possible. And I remember of all the people who reminded me of this was Frankie Boyle. Frankie Boyle and I were doing a weekend of gigs in Newcastle once.
That great and sentimental fool.
Oh, honestly. So there was a comedy club in Newcastle called The Hyena. And when you stayed there, when you played there, they would put you up in an apartment because I think the owner of the club owned an apartment. And so you'd spend a weekend with just some random comic just living together. And I had two weekends in the space of 6 months where it was Frankie Boyle. And Frankie and I would sit up and, you know, we'd go out and I think we were both drinking at the time, but then we'd come back and we'd have cups of tea and we'd talk about the universe. And I remember him talking about how his dad would come home at probably 7 o'clock every night. He'd go to work, go to the pub, and then he'd come home. And I was like, oh my God, that's what dads did. Because my dad didn't. My dad would be gone for 2 weeks and then I'd come home from school one day and he'd be in a beanbag watching, you know, Warner Brothers cartoons. And then that's it. We'd have him home for 10 days. So I guess that's kind of what I've ended up doing with my daughters, which is, you know, it breaks my heart for me to be away from them, but I hope it teaches them that you can have a job that you love and that, you know, there are no boundaries. You can go anywhere in the world and do whatever it is that you love. But when I'm with them, it's just about being with them. And 9 times out of 10, it doesn't matter what you're doing. Just being there. And really being there, as you said, being present is what's important. So for me, that extra hour, just colouring in with my girls.
Yeah. I think in so many ways, lockdown taught us that. It's the stuff we missed was really just people. It was contact. It was being able to, just being able to touch their skin, hold their hands.
Oh, and, you know, ironically, all I did for 7 months, because Melbourne had the longest lockdown of any city in the world, pretty much. All I did for a 7 months was just colour in with my girls, and I was...
And then you got to work with them. I mean, you took one expression that one of them... one conundrum that one of your daughters presented you with, and you've turned it into 2 best-selling children's books, which you, by the way, have cut them in on, which is pretty remarkable. You've gone 4 ways on the publishing royalties between your 2 girls, yourself, and their chosen charity.
Yeah, it was my youngest who had said to me, and she must have been about 8 at the time, this was pre-lockdown, she said, I don't know when I grow up whether I want to be a rock star or a detective. And I said, well, you do both. You'd be a rock star by night and a detective by day. And it wasn't long after that I was called in for a meeting with some publishers saying, do you have any ideas for books? And in particular, what would you write for your eldest? And I went, oh, she said she wants to be a rock star and a detective, so I'd probably write that. And I went, oh, my goodness, and what would happen in that? And then we started talking about this story. And so then I came home and I sat with her and went, right, so who would the suspects be and what could the crime be? And we came up with this story of these two 12-year-olds that are on their first ever tour, music tour, and wherever they perform, a priceless piece of art is stolen, but all the evidence makes it look like they're the ones doing it. So they have to solve the crimes and work out who's framing them. And I said to both my daughters, I said, look, I'm gonna split the proceeds, what I get paid for this, with you guys. And then one of them said, well, no, you should get some as well. And I was like, okay, fine. And then one of the other ones said, well, actually, and let's give some to charity. Let's split it four ways. So, and to be honest, like, we've not got around to working out which charity we're going to give it to. I think we identified there's a place in Melbourne called the Song Room, which takes music lessons to disadvantaged schools. So I think we'll look into that, and probably a disability support charity in the UK as well. But after the first book was written, my eldest said, I really enjoyed that, Daddy, but can someone die in the second book?
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Finally, we pick up with former Labour spin doctor turned superstar podcaster Alistair Campbell, alongside his daughter, the stand-up comedian Grace. They offered up a fascinating glimpse into their extraordinary father-daughter relationship, and as well as exploring her childhood in Downing Street and the impact it had on family life, they also opened up with real candour and vulnerability about their own shared experiences of poor mental health.
Alistair, you did a really lovely TED Talk entitled The Worst Things That Happen Are Often the Best. I love finding the positive in the negative. So can you tell me of a time for each other when that's been true for you?
Well, when Grace she went to university in Paris and she didn't like it and she was having panic attacks and stuff. And it was a really bad time. She was having a really bad time. And I remember she phoned me at one point and said she was hating it. And I just said, well, why don't you just, you know, I'm not really, I don't jack things in the main, but it was obvious to me it was making her really unhappy. I said, just pack it in. Let's find something you want to do. And she came back to London and she's never looked back. Went and found a course she wanted to do. And
he's right.
That doesn't tally up with your attitude to life at all, Alistair. So it's unusual that you would give advice to your daughter that you probably wouldn't take yourself.
No, I think I would. I think if something like that, I wouldn't want to give up something that I felt was really, really worthwhile.
But also, I think what he's saying is, like, it was more on a mental health level. My mental health was the worst that it's ever been, you know. I don't think I'll ever be in a place as bad as I was then. I was really thought I was going to die, and I was, had a complete nervous breakdown. And that you understand, you know, it's like when you had your breakdown, you did lose your job and you did have to sort of start again a bit, Dad. So I think, yeah, you understood that, that you kind of, in those moments, you actually can't carry on. You need to just be back at home with your friends and family. And I just needed to be at home. I needed to be with my friends.
Funny, I feel quite confident because Grace has always been very good at kind of, you know, she's very, very upfront about how she's feeling and what's going on. So I didn't feel that same sense of wretchedness as I felt, for example, there were times, for example, when Callum was really bad with drink, then I just couldn't see a way out of it. I thought it was just going to end up with us getting a, you know, really horrible phone call in the middle of the night. Whereas I just felt, I don't know, I felt with Grace that it would work out. And I sort of sensed, I think the reason she phoned me probably at that day rather than Fiona, other than the fact that Fiona quite often doesn't answer the phone.
That's bullshit. I call Mum about 15 times a day when I was there.
But you call me that. I wonder whether you call me then because you maybe sensed that I sensed you really, really wanted to come back. But you didn't want to sort of admit defeat. But I didn't. I think you can admitting defeat to things that don't. It doesn't matter if you win or not. It's fine.
Grace, you keep saying your dad doesn't know you, but I'm pretty sure that he does have a general idea about who you are and what floats your boat. So I wondered which facet of each other's personalities would you most like to have for yourself to kind of smooth out your edges or inform better who you are?
Well, I can answer that immediately. The thing that I really would love to have about my dad is how unaffected he is by people hating him and by, like, you know, trolls and stuff. And, like, when people say shit about him on the street, it genuinely does not bother him. And I wish, you know, I have a good sense of that. Like, I had to, in doing stand-up, you have to accept, like, loads of people aren't going to like you and not everyone's going to love you and all of that. But he, you know, that's something I really try. When I get, like, a hater on Instagram or something, I just think, you know, this wouldn't bother my dad. So, like, let it move out of your head right now.
Is it a bit like, you know, when Christians wear those bracelets to say, what would Jesus do? Is that when you go, what would dad do?
Well, no, it's just I know what he would do. He wouldn't care. He would say to me, shut up. Why have you let one person on the internet's opinion of you affect you? And I think that's a really, really good attitude to have. So that's something I definitely, you know, really admire about him and other stuff. But that's the first thing that pops into my head that I think about quite a lot.
Does it really not bother you? I mean, Alison, you've said in your response to Tessa Gell, after everything you've been through, you let them say what they like about me. You have to kind of know who you are and look yourself in the eye, right?
You've got to be careful. I mean, sometimes, and I think actually this does come through a little bit in the diaries where I get more reflective. If there's a criticism that's coming a lot, I can reflect upon it. And sometimes you have to do that. And you maybe think, yeah, maybe he or she has got a point. There's a bit, for example, where in this volume where I'm writing about a sort of sense that I'm in danger of losing quite a few important friendships because of certain things that have happened in politics. And I'm sort of reflecting on that. And it's something that I wouldn't maybe admit that I was reflecting on. I'm not going to admit that maybe I went over the top or they went over the top or whatever, but I'm able to kind of adapt according maybe to criticism that's coming my way. And I think it's important to be able to do that. But no, genuinely, if somebody that doesn't know me, I remember once saying that, you know, if I thought my parents thought I was a terrible son and Fiona thought I was, you know, not worth living with and the kids thought I was a terrible father and my friends thought I wasn't a good friend, that would really bother me. That would really, really, really get to me. But some guy who reads the Daily Mail, you know, doesn't, is a card-carrying member of the Tory party, voted Brexit, you know, doesn't like football, I'm just not going to care. Why would I care what he thinks about me? And I don't think that's, Grace talked earlier about being a mixture of arrogance and insecure. I don't feel that's arrogant because what it is not allowing, I've got my own moral code, I've got my own framework of values, I know what I believe, and I know whose opinion matters to me. And it's a wide enough range of people for me genuinely not to care what some columnist or internet troll says.
I mean, there's that saying, isn't there? Why are you trying to be liked by everyone? You don't like everyone.
Yeah, exactly. Dad doesn't like anyone.
Yeah.
It's not exactly true.
Who do you like, Alistair? If you had to name your top three favourite people. Yeah, top three favourite people.
What, on the planet?
Yeah.
No, I like it a lot. I've got a reputation for being a bit kind of grumpy and stuff, but actually, I tend to see the positive in people much more than even my own kids maybe recognise. But I'd say in terms of, I think Fiona's number one. One thing I've learned during lockdown is there's not many people I could spend literally a year with without wanting to kind of, you know, do something to them or to myself. And, you know, Fiona and I barely had a day apart. So I think Fiona would be number one. I think Ashley Barnes, the Burnley striker, has got to be right up there.
Mm. And then the other Ashley.
And Ashley Westwood as well, yeah. The person I was going to say straight away was Sid Young, my old mate. He died during the first lockdown. I like positive, warm, clever characters. That's what I like, and there's plenty of them in the world.
What's the facet of Grace's personality that you would most like?
I think Grace has got an amazing capacity for friendship. I think she's, ever since she's been a little kid, she's had really good friends at every level of her life, and some of them have, you know, stayed the same the whole way through. She's got very, very good friends, and that means you've got a good capacity for friendship, and that's a really, really good quality. I think I've got that, but a lot of them die, and that sort of worries me a bit.
Thanks so much for joining me for Something from the Cellar with our Father's Day special. I hope you're enjoying these weekly visits to the cellar as much as I am, and I'll be back on Friday with a brand new guest. In the meantime, if you want to listen to any of these episodes in full, simply search by the name of the guest, popping them into your search bar. And this week, you've been listening to Alec Jones, Adam Hills, and Alistair and Grace Campbell. I'll see you Friday.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Wine Question Time is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.